Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Sukkot. It's been in New York anyhow. It's been the lovely weather. And what I wanted to mention over here, since we mentioned the fact that the weather's so nice, we focus on something on Sukkot, which is very unusual in terms of what we have as the main mitzvah. Of course, we are told it's called Sukkot, and we're told to eat in a sukkah because Kibas Sukkot, so Shafti as B'nai Yisrael, me when they left Mitzrayim and they ate in the sukkahs for 40 years, and out of to commemorate that, we build our own sukkah. What is strange about it, of course, the Gemara has a discussion in terms of there's a machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar says the sukkah is supposed to commemorate the Anane HaKavod, the heavenly clouds that followed and protected the B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, whereas Rabbi Akiva says sukkos mamish, that they built their own sukkahs in reality. They built their own sukkah. Very good. But the truth of the matter is, on Pesach, we celebrate going out of Mitzrayim with all the makos and the splitting of the sea. We lionize, we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the nisim and flows, all the miracles, nothing man-made, all the miracles that God wrought on our behalf. On Shavuot, certainly the greatest of all is we memorialize, we commemorate the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai, which was the most breathtaking event I would imagine ever, having seen the throne of glory open to the sky, opening up and experience Shavuot. And yet, what we commemorate on Sukkot is a man-made object, which is a sukkah that we go out and build and sit in the sukkah. Why would that be something that we should commemorate when it's man-made? And in fact, Rabbi Elazar asked that question to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, in fact, the reality is that he does realize that the Anane HaKavod did protect the B'nai Yisrael, but he felt that for 40 years in the Midbar, they still needed God's protection for, and even though they ate in the sukkah. And the reality is, it's very simple, that what we want to do is we want to eat in the sukkah, but when we sit in the sukkah, of course, should it rain, obviously, we have to go inside. In fact, God doesn't, because of the Anane HaKavod that did protect us, God, when it goes to rain, if they ate in the sukkah for 40 years, why should we go into the house when it rains? If it's to commemorate eating in the sukkah for 40 years, then it shouldn't matter what the weather is regardless. So why we are allowed to go inside the house if it rains, and that's it. Because the reality is the Anane HaKavod, as much as the sukkah protected us, maybe from a little bit of the weather, if it was too hot or not, the fact remains, it is not the sukkah that protected us. It afforded us not much protection at all. We couldn't survive for 40 years in a desert without God's protection, without the Anane HaKavod, and that is why we eat in the sukkah. We make ourselves a sukkah, and we go outside, we bring all our finest china and silverware out into the sukkah, and we eat there, we spend time there, but if it's raining, we can't spend any time there at all. We have to rely on to us to realize that for 40 years, even though they had to travel in the Midbar for those 40 years, they understood that the sukkah is not what saved them for 40 years. This is not what it's all about. And that's why we go out into the sukkah. And for 40 years, they did that. And we came inside when they came into the land of Israel. That is when they had the simcha, which is why it's very important also. Why would one think that we make a holiday on Shmini Atzeres? And what is so great about the holiday of Shmini Atzeres is that we make a celebration of leaving the sukkah. Why should that be? It's impossible to think that way because you think we're so happy we go into the sukkah, it's a yomtiv, and we have a v'samachta b'chagecha, we have such a wonderful time, and yet it's a bigger simcha when we come inside to the house on Shmini Atzeres. We leave the sukkah, and the reason is, reality is that's to show us that only when we have a solid roof over our head do we feel at all secure. But even so, this is just to remind us that here we are in the safety of our home, but outside we only have to depend on God. We remember that God saved the Klal Yisrael for 40 years because all they had was these sukkahs. That's the memory of that. We come along to what we celebrate as well on Sukkot is a more important factor here. that it applies to our daily lives today, and that is the Arba Minim. What are the Arba Minim all about? We have the Lulav, the Esrig, we have the Aravis and the Hadassim, and they all, we make a bracha with all of them held together. The interesting thing is that we know that each one has its own part. The Aravis are not bad smelling, but they have no smell, no taste. The Hadassim have no taste, but they have a fragrant odor. The Lulav is just a stiff thing. It has maybe a little bit of a smell, but it certainly doesn't have any taste. And yet the Esrig is the nicest part. And of course, we are told so many times, it's discussed before, that it's supposed to represent the four types of Jews that we have, as opposed to the four types of people at the Seder. At the Seder, we have, unfortunately, the Russia, and the Russia is trying to subvert Judaism. But here, we don't have any of the four Minim that are here to subvert Judaism. But the fact is, three of them are tied together, and we want to make the bracha, we want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, we have to hold them all together. But one might ask the question, three of them are tied together, and one is held separately. But we don't get the mitzvah of making Al Netilas Lulav, and which is the bracha, Al Netilas Lulav. We don't say Al Netilas Esrog, and the Esrog is, and we say the Esrog is supposed to symbolize the tzaddik. The Esrog is supposed to be the one who smells nice and is Shomer Torah Mitzvot. He's the good Jew, so to speak. But the lesson of this is that even though he's separate from the other three, he's not Zocha to have a bracha to be Mekayim this mitzvah. He must be joined together with all the Arba Minim, with all the other Jews in the world. The necessary part of this Arba Minim is to teach us that no one could be separate. The Judaism requires God is only happy when there are all people in all walks of life. And we have, especially in Israel, we could see it more often, all the people who are the sanitation workers, whether you are a teacher, whether you're a Rebbe, whether you're a fireman, whether you're a policeman, you're going to be a Jew. And we need all types of people to survive in this world. For Jews to operate as a unity, we are all together. We have people who are on a higher spiritual plane. But the point of the matter is that with the Etzrig cannot be Zocha to have his bracha made for him. The bracha is Al Netilas Lulav. The foundation is the Aravis, the Hadassim, and the Lulav. The Etzrig cannot exist without the other three parts of the Lulav. So he may, there are people who try to keep themselves separate. They feel above the other people, but they don't exist. They cannot survive in this world without the Hadassim, Aravis, and the Lulav, which is a very important point. And so we don't make the bracha. You can't make a bracha with the Esrog until they are all pushed together and held together with one hand, if the Esrog is not that big where you can hold it with one hand. But that is the lesson of the Arba Minim as well. Now, we get to Shmini Atzeret. And the interesting thing, of course, we know that we leave the sukkah. So what I said is that why should we be so happy when we leave the sukkah as a yontif? But that is to teach us once again, to tell us that even we understand that it was eating in the sukkah, but now only going into the house do we appreciate God's protection of being outside. There's one very interesting thing as well. The Vilna Gaon makes a cute distinction of the word sukkah. We know lechatchila one must eat, and obviously in the sukkah, but the sukkah is supposed to initially have four walls lechatchila. The best thing to do is if you could have a sukkah that has all four walls, which is the remez is to the stomach and the word sukkah. But we know that a sukkah with three walls is a kosher sukkah as well, which is symbolized by the second letter of the word sukkah with the chaf, which has only three sides. And b'di'evet, even if you only have two sides and a partial third wall, that's good enough too. B'di'evet, in the worst of all circumstances, that is makes a sukkah kosher, as long as you have the ability to put tzach across part of it, and that is symbolized by the letter hey. So the word sukkah symbolizes all the three levels of sukkah that one may be yotze, his mitzvah of sukkah as well. One thing that we have on Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah that I thought of. It seems funny because here it is, Simchas Torah. We're celebrating a tremendous holiday. We dance and we sing, and we are so happy when the end of Yontif comes. Not that it's the end of Yontif, but it's the most glorious day of the Yontif when everybody joins together in dance and song and food and the eating together in a lot of shuls, have community meals. People get to see each other in very good spirits. But the reality is when we lay in the Torah and we lay in Zos HaBracha, and of course Zos HaBracha is such a wonderful parsha, it gets lost in the shuffle, which I want to speak about a little bit. But it gets lost in the shuffle because it happens so quickly, and some of us are not in their right state of mind when we're laning, when we're reading the Torah, but it's one of the most important parshas in the Torah. Moshe is giving a blessing. He's giving his bracha to the entire Klal Yisrael, and yet the notes that we read it with the trump is a very sad song. And one might ask, why should we on this day of great joy, why do we lay in Zos HaBracha with the tune of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, when we're thinking that? And the reality is, what occurred to me, that is because it's the passing, it represents the passing of Moshe. And just as we, under the chuppah, we break a glass to remember the Churban Yerushalayim at the greatest joy when somebody's getting married and they break a glass under the chuppah, it's to remind us to put our feet on the ground, so to speak, to remember where we are and what we're remembering and what we lost. And even though the greatest day of joy is Simchas Torah, when we bring all the karbonas for ourselves, and it's a great moment of joy for all Jews, but the reality is at the end of this parsha, we realize, we read about the passing of Moshe, the Patira of Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented all of Klal Yisrael, who gave his entire life for it, which makes the Yizkor on Shmini Atzeres all the more important and, you know, relevant, because in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres, when they're having all the hakafas, we have Yizkor as well. And what we're memorializing more than all the passing of our family members is Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the staunchest supporter. In fact, when we go back to the parsha of Pinchas, when God tells Moshe after Parsha Sukkot that I want you to know right now that it's time that you're going to pass on and you will not go into the land of Israel, Moshe's first thought, rather than thinking for himself, is to tell Pinchas, to tell Kodesh Baruch Hu, that then it's time. Then I have to appoint somebody immediately to take my place, rather than just leave everybody in the lurch and say, well, if I'm not here, I don't care. Moshe had the thought of Klal Yisrael at the most important time of his life. All he could ever think about was the future of Klal Yisrael, which makes it one other point over here that's very interesting when we think about it. We have three times in Pinchas and in Hazinu and in Vayelech, we have God telling Moshe, Alei Rosh HaPisgah, he tells him to go up on the mountain and took Ureyes Oret and take a look at the land. Imagine, that's very tantalizing. Take a look at all this beauty that you see. I'm giving you Nevuah to see everything that is going to happen in the future. You'll see this beautiful land, but you can't go. Imagine you're going into somebody, you go to a caterer, and he shows you this beautiful wedding and all this gorgeous food, and is saying, I hope you're hungry. Yeah, and you look at all this food, and then he says, but you can't eat anything. Imagine, and that would seem on the surface to be a very tantalizing thing, and this is not, it should not be in the Chama to Moshe, but Moshe takes it in a different light, and Moshe understands, and that's why God had a twofold purpose of telling him to go up in the mountain to look. Number one, as Chazal tell us, God wanted Moshe to see the future, to see every neighborhood, to understand that the bris avos that he promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that the Jews would go into the land and live there in comfort and in style, so to speak, for many years to come, is that he was fulfilling his obligation, but also that he should be able to see, he actually was able to see the neighborhoods and the actual workings of all of the Shvatim in the future, which brings us to a very interesting thought process, which the Abarbanel points out, which is a very interesting thought. We have this klal, we know that the relationship between Yisachar and Zevulun, was Zvulun, made the money, so to speak, to support Yisachar, as we've said in previous Shiurim, that Yisachar was supported by Zvulun, and Yisachar sat and learned to support. But Abarbanel makes a very interesting Ha'ora here, because, you know, Abarbanel being one of the last of the Rishonim, but certainly now he's considered a Rishon in today's standards. But the reality is he was a man of culture. He was the man of work. He had very little time to write until the end of his life, which is when he did most of his writing, when he was, so to speak, retired. But he was so busy in palace politics for so many years of his time that he wouldn't have had time. So he rose to greatness, and he understands the difference between what we think of Yisachar and Zvulun. When it says, Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha v'Yisachar b'yoalecha, we translate that to mean Yisachar or Yisvulun is going out on a ship. And that's what Moshe saw. Zvulun actually saw the future, that Zvulun had ships and he was going out to sea and bringing back the merchandise. But while Zvulun was away all this time and he brought back all these wares to sell and to make his money, who mined the shops? Yisachar b'yoalecha does not mean Yisachar was sitting in the Beis Medrash the whole time. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha, Yisachar was the man who inside ran the business on the home front. When Zvulun came back with all the merchandise, Yisachar was manning the store to actually be the merchant and selling everything. And that's what it is, b'yoalecha. Yisachar b'yoalecha doesn't mean he sat and learned. While certainly he sat and learned to a degree, but he had to go out and earn some money as well. Zvulun brought back, spent his life bringing back the merchandise, but it was Yisachar who had to sell the stuff when he came back, which is a very interesting thought. But we get to the end of the parsha, and I get to the point that, of course, as we know, the last eight sukkim are the only eight sukkim that, even though we have a commandment of Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum, the last eight sukkim of the Torah from Vayomos Moshe, Eved Hashem, we do not read along with the Baal Korah, so which is a very interesting thought, because Moshe passed away, and so that we don't say in deference to Moshe's passing. But in reference to Yizkor, we memorialize the people that got us here to this point, and the memory of Moshe Rabbeinu is most important when we think and we make all these mishaberach. We think on Zos HaBrocha that we are so joyous at this time, but as I said before, just as we break a glass under a chuppah, we sing the tune of Zos HaBrocha in that sad song, because in our greatest moment of joy and celebration of the Yontif, we remember Yizkor, we're saying Yizkor as well. We're remembering our parents who worked very hard to get us to this point in our life. And we come to shul and we say all these tefillos that we pray and we raise our glass at Kiddush and we remember Moshe when we have the Chosin Torah and the Chosin Brachos, and we remember that Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is why when we finish off the Torah, as in every Chumash, but certainly because Moshe gave it, but the most of all, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, and then we're ready to go to HaKafis, we lane, and we finish off the Torah, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, because that is the moment when we realize the sadness of Moshe's passing and how Klal Yisrael must have felt, that here they are on the precipice of going into the land after so many years of trials and tribulations. They're finally reaching the promised land, and now they have to go in without Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Imagine what they must have thought. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself told them, Chazak ve'emotz, to be that Yoshua would be up to the task. Imagine how we would have to, in today's day and age, when we have all the elections of people, how a leader is so concerned for his person that's going to replace him, how he's concerned about the people. And that's what, just as on the Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to be concerned about all the people, the Chiper Bado, V'yad Beiso, V'yad Kol, Kahal Yisrael, V'yad Ha'am. He can't just pick one person or the people who are on his side to vote for him. And those are the people he wants to v'chiper ba'do v'yad kol kahal Yisrael. He has to pray for all of Klal Yisrael, not just for Klal Yisrael, the good people, but for the Adam, the people who have made trouble for him. And Moshe was always first and foremost for, he prays for Kahal Yisrael and prayed for the Am. Even Vayora for Am in Moshe, all the times that all these people made trouble for Moshe, he never won. He always was exasperated, but still came to their aid. And the people, unfortunately, it takes some time for these people who were aided in their time, even though they were against him. They didn't vote for Moshe, but Moshe still voted for them. He went down with the greatest amount of grace that one could ask for. He went up to the mountain. God told him that this time I've let you see the land on a natural basis, even though you're 120 years old. You see it with your own regular vision. And then he gave him the ability to have this supervision as well, and to show him the future, but to show him what the land of Israel actually looks like now and in the future, how it will take shape for the hundreds of years in the future. And that is what we take with us on Simchas Torah. So what is the purpose of making a big party on Simchas Torah? And as we're told, is the reason for a Siyum is not so much for finishing the Torah. The purpose of a Siyum is now that next week, when we start discussing Parshas Bereishis, after the last few years that we've been giving Shiurim on Parshas Bereishis, you begin to think that possibly you know already so much of the Chumash, and what more can you learn? But I know every year I have new thoughts, and every time I make the celebration of Simchas Torah, and I'm thinking when I start on Simchas Torah, we learn the first part of Bereishis, what am I seeing now different? What will I see this year that opens my eyes even more greatly to the beauty of the Torah? And that's what we have to be concerned about. So the Siyum, the purpose of a Siyum, is that we're beginning the Torah anew with a fresh pair of eyes. And now, since we know more about Moshe, every year we learn a little bit more about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Yosef, and all the dramatis personae of all the Torah, we begin to understand the persona of a person of Noah, and so on and so forth, as we will learn in the coming weeks. May we all have a wonderful Yontif, and we all have a pleasant Simchas Torah, and may Yiska be a very meaningful day for all of us. But most of all, have a great Yontif, and I'll see you or I'll talk to you Matzah Simchas Torah. And I hope we all have a joyous day. Thank you very much. Good Yom Tov.